some amazing
so
stuff.
We are holding on Tehei on the Bay's third line, the wide line.
Tehei
on the Bay, third line, the wide line. Okay. We learned in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Akiva saying that an animal, Balmum, that the pieces of it will play, the Murim, whatever, it will play some in the Bay. We say, you leave it up there. And then we had the Mishnah of Chaminas Yanakoinim, saying that my father, who of course was also a Kohen, would push Balim Mumin off the Midbar. So the question is, my Kamash Malan, what is Rav Chaminas Yanakoinim trying to inform us by that? Basically, he's saying the same thing as the Tanakhama. Hello?
By saying
that his father would keep Balim Mumin off the Midbar, amounts to the same thing as the Tanakhama, that in all of Yerudu, even if you put them on the Midbar, he'd take them off. So what is he saying? One possibility is Rav Chanina is coming to tell us not just that the halacha is theoretically like the chachamim, but that in practice, this is how they would actually do it. Maisa Rav, when you have, if something was actually done a certain way, then it's a much more, then it's a much stronger thing in halacha. Another possibility, maybe Rav Chanina's Yanakoinim is saying something a little different than the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama would be saying, as far as the Bali Mumin, at least, the Chanina talk about it, he's talking, as Rav Chanina's Yanakoinim talking also about Bali, only about Bali Mumin, or in general about the Sulim. As far as the Tanakhama is concerned, in Olu Yerudu, take them completely off. Show in full view of everybody, take it off in the Zeach. Whereas Rav Chanina's Yanakoinim is saying that, no, my father would be Docha them. He's like, so to speak, like accidentally on purpose push them off from the bay, to make it not so blatant that he's actually taking them off. Because after all, yes, so according to that second way of looking at it, that's the point that I'm coming to Yanakoinim wants to inform us. That the Tanakhama would say there's no problem publicly taking them off, and if Chanina is saying you should know my father at least wouldn't publicly take them off, he would just take them off in a way that it wasn't so noticeable. Because after all, they were originally touched.
Whatever thing goes on the Mishpeh.
Come on. There's a big difference between a person picking up a thing and then taking it and walking down from the Mishpeh with it versus like accidentally nudging it off from the Mishpeh and oops, it fell off. And okay, that was all from the Mishpeh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, Richard.
Three times.
It's not like it's that often necessarily that Sulin went on the Mishpeh. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Fine.
We don't. We don't.
Then the Mishnah. More or less truthful. And then we'll go back in time.
Come on, people. The Mishnah had said, "Kishem Shem Ola Chola." We said, as far as all these stolen, the same the ones that we say in Ola Lo Yerdu, the same way as we said. The Mishnah said the same way as the rule is that if they were brought up onto the Mizbeach, you don't take them off, even though they have been stolen. We said the same way if they were taken off the Mizbeach for whatever reason, you don't put them back on. So. This is only talking about if the fire didn't already catch on to them. But if the fire started catching on to them, Yalu, then even if it's already considered Lachmosh, it's already the food of the fire. No, we're talking about that they were on the Mizbeach, the fire started catching on to them, then they were taken off the Mizbeach, or fell off, or were pushed off, or what have you, because Moshla Behana Ur, Ula says, Yalu, you put them back up on the Mizbeach, even though on Mishnah is saying that once Yerdu, you don't put them back up, but that's only if they hadn't started being burnt yet. Now, Rav Mori Masnia Resha, Rav Mori says that this statement of Ula just said the statement without specifying what case he's referring to. So Rav Mori learns that it's talking about the Resha, meaning the end of our Mishnah, about the case of the Stolen. Rav Chanina Misura Masnia Sefer. Rav Chanina Misura said that actually Ula's statement is referring to the next Mishnah, whereas Sefer often means the next Mishnah, because a lot of times we think of all the Mishnayos and the Perek as being one continuum. Anyway, we have the next Mishnah says, Hatsomis by Gidin by Karnayim by Trophayim, bones and Gidin, by the way, is a general term, it means blood vessels and nerves and tendons, etc., by Karnayim by Trophayim and horns and hooves, all those things, as Mansham Chuborin, if they're attached to the flesh of the behemoth, as usually they would be, Yalu, then you put them up on the Mizbeach, Poshu, but if they were separated from it, Lo Yalu, then you don't put them up on the Mizbeach. So on that, the Chanina Misura says that Ula's statement is referring to that case. This that we're saying, that you don't put them on the Mizbeach, back on the Mizbeach, is only if the fire didn't catch on to them. But if the fire already caught on to them, and then they were taken off, then you put them back. So now, what's the Nachmina between...
Why don't you say the other way? Take them down, unless this fine caught on.
Well, that's basically what we mean. In other words, the Mishnah is saying, the next Mishnah says that bones and other, that the bones and these other things, that if they're separated from the flesh, then lo yalu, you don't put them up on the Mizbeach. So Ullah is saying, however, if they were on the Mizbeach already and the fire caught onto them, then they were taken off the Mizbeach, then yalu, then you do put them back up on the Mizbeach. According to the second version, that's what Ullah is referring to. So, the Gemara says, Man de Machniah Sefer, Rav Chanina Misura, who says that Ullah's statement is referring to the next Mishnah about the bones and whatnot, then he would say, how much more so that it would apply to the previous Mishnah about the psulim? Because after all, when you have, in the case of the psulim, of the previous Mishnah, you have, I mean, they are something that is normally burnt on the Mizbeach, if had they not become possible. All it is they became possible, that's why they're not usually placed on the Mizbeach, but in Olol Yerju. But once we say, if you're going to say that even bones from the next Mishnah, which in and of themselves are not really something that has to be burnt on the Mizbeach at all. That's why if they're separated from the Korban, they're not supposed to be put on the Mizbeach. And yet, if Moshe Behena Ur, if the fire poured onto them, then you put them back, how much more so the stolen? So that's how Rav Chanina Misura, in other words, would say that Ullah's statement ends up referring to both cases. But Rav Mori, who learns that all the statement refers only to the Reisha, only to our Mishnah, he would say, have a lot of faith, a lot of Nachtarim. And he would say, no, in the Sefer, in the next Mishnah, bones and didim and whatnot are not even something that are normally meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Basically, what's meant to go on the Mizbeach is the meat and the blood of the Korban. So therefore, according to him, Ullah would say that with bones and so forth, even if Moshla Behena Ur, but if they were separated, again, if they were separated from the flesh, and then they were put up on the Mizbeach and Moshe Rabbeinu Ur, and then they were taken down, according to the Mori's understanding of Ullah, even then you would take them down. Only the psulim of our Mishnah would be say that you don't take down.
Because bones have nothing
to do with the korban, basically, right? Okay. Because that's what he says. That's the law. We're going to see it in connection with the next Mishnah. We're going to see at the end of the next Mishnah and in the Gemara. So we'll see right. So the Mishnah says the Elohim Olur Yerdu, the following things, if they were put up on the Mizbeach, you still take them off the Mizbeach, even though they're from a kosher korban, because they have no shaychus, they have no connection to the Mizbeach at all. Our kodshe kodshim, the meat of kodshe kodshim, for example, hatha, because that's not supposed to be burned on the Mizbeach, it's supposed to be eaten by the Kohen. Obsar kodshim kalim, and the meat of kodshim kalim, same thing, it's meant to be eaten by the Kohenim and the owners. And in fact, we learned earlier in the...
In other words,
the hatha, for most other karbonas, you only put the emurim on the Mizbeach. So if a Kohen were to then take also a piece of meat from the hatha, so the shlomim or what have you, and put it on the Mizbeach, we would take it off in
the
Zeach.
Right.
The Emurim include the Chelev and the kidneys and the Yeseret HaKaved, which is the diaphragm, and a couple of other internals. The heads, that's what we're going to see in a minute. The head of an Oila was burnt on the Mizbeach. The heads of other Korbanos were not.
The head of a Chassah is not burned on
the
Mizbeach.
No. Right. Okay.
Because the Oila everything.
Because Oila and everything. Right, except for the skin.
The tail
of an oila, so in the case of a korban that comes from a sheep, then the tail, which is the fat tail, stores a lot of fat, the breed of sheep, stores a lot of fat in their tails, then that's also part of the emurim and it's all put on the Mizbeach.
In the
chata. In the chata, so shlomim or all the other, yeah. Also the leftovers of the Omer, meaning when they bring the korban Omer on the second day of Pesach, they take out a koymet from it, like you do with most menachos, they burn that on the Mizbeach, and the rest is supposed to be eaten by the koyim. So again, the rest of the Omer has no business going on the Mizbeach. Ushtei alechem v'lachem aponim, similarly also the shtei alechem, those don't go on the Mizbeach at all, because they're komet, and the lachem aponim, again, none of those goes on the Mizbeach, the levoina that goes with them goes on the Mizbeach, but the lachem aponim themselves are eaten by the koyim. Or shiore menachos, and the leftover of menachos, same idea, where you take the kohenim out of it and the rest is eaten by the kohenim. Tosfos points out, on the face of it, the Mishnah could have just said shiore menachos, and it would include all these other ones. The omer and the shtei alechem and the lachem aponim essentially are special types of mincha. The reason why we're specifying them is because each of them have something unique about them. the Omer is unique among Menachos, that its main purpose is not so much for kapara, but to allow people to eat chadash, and also it's made from barley flour, as opposed to almost all other Menachos are wheat flour, the Shtei Alechem HaChometz, Lechem HaPanim, nothing of them is burnt, so you still need to point out that. Okay. And the Haktoras, and also Ketoras, if it's placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, has no business being on there, and therefore you take it off. Unlike, obviously, it goes on the Mizbeach HaPanim. By the way, you were asking me a couple of days back whether this rule of Olo Lo Yodu applies to the Mizbeach HaPanim, and I said no. Turns out I was wrong about that. Not only it does apply to it, but it applies even more to the Mizbeach HaChitzon than it does to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, to the Mizbeach HaPanim. Actually, we learned about it earlier in the Masechta, but I'd forgotten. So the Gemara mentions over there that he with the Mizbeach HaPanim, even if he put up something on there that's not Roy for example, the Kaimus or the Mincha, you would leave it there. Okay? It stays there, right. Okay. But anyway, but the point is, Turdus has no Shaychus to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Okay. New list now. This is the Mizbeach HaChitzon we're talking about, right. Okay. New list in the Mishnah, Hatsema Shabaroshe Kvatim, the wool on the head of a sheep, when we talk about an oila, because Rashi points out, even though an oila is skinned before they cut it up, they don't skin the head. The head is offered on the Mizbeach with its skin and whatever wool is attached to the skin of the head of the animal.
So the wool is not thick enough.
So therefore, that's the point. So the wool that's on the head of the sheep, the seir should be kanti yashim, or also the hair on the beard of a goat, same idea, if a person brings a goat as an oila, again, the hair of that beard is not taken off before the head is offered on the Mizbeach. V'hatsamos, the bones, v'hagidim, and gidim, v'hakanayim, v'hatsafayim. Tioshim means male goat, billy goat. V'hatsamos, and then bones, v'hagidim, v'hakanayim, v'hatsafayim, and horns and hooves. V'zmanshem, v'chubarim, all of these things, the wool and the hair, etc., when they're still attached to the head itself, or to the flesh itself, or whatever, yalud, and you put them up on the back, hello. Because the pasuk says, by an oil of the kohen should offer everything on the Mizbeach, meaning everything including the horns and the hooves and whatnot. Pirshu lo yalu, on the other hand, if they're separated from the flesh, lo yalu, then you don't put them up on the Mizbeach. Because the pasuk says, you should offer your oilas the meat and the blood. Implying, in other words, that only meat and blood are shayach to being placed on the Mizbeach, nothing else. So therefore, that's where we get this distinction between whether they're attached or not. Interesting point, by the way, I mentioned on the WhatsApp. We know the famous thing with the ram that Abraham offered instead of Yitzchak by the Akedah. So the Medrash tells us famously that everything of the Medrash tells us famously that the horns of that ram were preserved for later generations. One horn was used as the shofar by Matan Torah, by Yitzchak Shofar Hoyle Chazik Moed, and the other one will be used when the Shiach comes, Bahaya Bayemo, you talk about Shofar Gadol, which should be Benhevi Amen and Mamish. So, the Ramban is the first one, I think, to ask the question in the Pirush on Chumash. If we're saying over here that the horns are supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach as long as they're attached, then how are they available? No, well, how are they available to be used by Matan Torah and when Mashiach comes? Yeah, because actually it was 400 years before Matan Torah. So the Ramban answers that what it could be is, yes, they were turned into ashes because they were burnt, but then Hashem afterwards put the ashes back together to reform a shofar. Only Hashem can do that, of course, but actually one of the later Achronim points out, I think the same way as Lahavdil you have in the story of the Korban, which, you know, soon is going to be Tisha B'Av, she hasn't come yet, we're going to be learning Hanizokin on that day, and you have the story over there of Titus, how, you know, he told his people, burn me and scatter my ashes, so the Jewish God can't find me and punish me, and later on Unkelus finds out that, in fact, that's his punishment every day in Gehenna, he's burnt up and then scattered and then reformed back together, and the same thing the next day. So Allah is Tamil Rakama when it comes to things of Scripture, that yes, Hashem can do that. So that's one answer. You have a few other answers as well. Yeah, you have a few other answers as well, including based on our Mishnah, that was saying that if they were separated from the animal, then you're not makruv them. So fine, you could explain that they were separated from the animal for whatever, either Avram deliberately separated them or they fell off or whatever. And Baruch Shimon Schneerson brings a brilliant idea. He says on this, the Medrash says that when Abraham brought that turban, every limb of it that he was offering on the Mizbeach, he said, Yirotzen, that it should be considered as if it was a limb of Yitzchak, and sprinkled the blood, and he offered the, so therefore, now a human being doesn't have horns. Therefore, he had no reason to be master of the horns. Therefore, Taka, he took them off before he was master of the carbon, and therefore they were available later from Antara and from Mashiach's time. Because they have no parallel in a human being. A human being doesn't have horns. He can't say when he's being master of the horns, he often that it should be considered as if I offered Yitzchak horns.
Probably because of his tail either.
That's a good question. I don't know.
What about the
So actually, it says that the one that was used by Matan Torah was the smaller one, and the one that will be used by Mashiach will be the bigger one. Yeah, apparently. That's what happened.
Okay, we're at the three seasons to get it done.
Indeed. All right, let's go on. The Gemara says, Tonen Abonim, V'hikir HaKoyin Et HaKoyin LaMizbecho. Now, you have one part that says that the Koyin should offer everything on the Mizbecho. So everything sounds like it means everything. So that should include the bones and the gidim and the horns and the horns. So you would think that's true even if they were separated from the body of the korban. No, but you have another pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that says you should offer your oilus the meat and the blood. Well, eat basav adam. So now if you only have that pasuk, you would think yachol yachos gidim basamot. You would think maybe you're obligated to take out the gizim and the bones out of the korban before you offer it on the mizbeach, the yalabos of the gavur mizbeach, and bring up only the flesh onto them. Maybe you attack after that. Talmud Lomar, but hitzir ha-korban et hakol. That's why I know that you have the other pasuk that says the korban should offer everything. Okay, so how do we reconcile the two pasukim? Mechuborin yalu, it means if they're still attached to the flesh, then you bring them all up onto the mizbeach and burn them all together. You don't take out the bones and so forth. Pirshu, on the other hand, if they got separated from the carbon, even if they're already on top of the mizbeach, then you take them off the mizbeach. And that's what our Mishnah was saying. Okay. So now the question is like this. Okay. So the Gemara, man kana de shamat leidoma pirshu yerdu. Which kana do you find that says this concept that we said that we just now said in the Braisa, that if they were separated from the carbon, then yerdu? Now Rashi learns that the question is not only on the Braisa, the question is on the Mishnah as well, because Rashi understands that when we said over here, the Mishnah said Tirshu, Lo Yalu, Rashi understands it means not only Lo Yalu, but also Yerdu. And if the horns and hooves and so forth are separate on top of the Mizbeach, when our Mishnah said Lo Yalu, you don't put them back up on the Mizbeach after if they were taken down, Rashi learns that it means that the Mishnah also means that not only you don't bring them up there, but even if they're there, you take them down. Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos says that, no, you could have the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying two different opinions. The Mishnah could be saying, Lo Yalu, you don't put them up, but if they're already there, you don't take them down. The Braisa would be saying, Yodu, that you actually take them down. So then when the Gemara is asking, Man Tana, the Shabbat, the Gemara, Pirushu, Yodu, according to Rashi, the question is, who's the Tana, who's the author of our Mishnah? And according to Tosfos, the question is, who's the Tana, who's the author only of this Braisa? So the Braisa and the Mishnah, according to Tosfos, are disagreeing. The answer is Zevi. That would be the opinion of Zevi. Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, when the Pasuk says, the Hitzer HaKoyin Et HaKoyin LaMizbecho, L'Rat again, L'Rat Et HaSomas Ta'Gidim Ba'Kanayim Ba'Tlapayim, it means includes the bones and the Gidim and the horns and the hooves, Afilu Pirshu, so then that, on the face of it, would mean even if they were separated from the body of the Korban, the Elamani Makayim Rasisa the Secha Bosav Adam. So what do you do then with the process that we quoted before, that you bring your oilus, the meat and the blood, implying that nothing else belongs on the Mizeach? Nothing to do with the question of Pirshu or not. It's rather a different thing. Loima Wach, what the Pasuk Habosav Adam tells you is, Ikule Oila Atamachzer, after pieces of the korban have already been equal, meaning they've already been consumed by the fire. So when they're pieces of the actual korban, of the meat of the korban itself, at the master, you put those back up onto the mizbeach. You're obligated to put those back up. If they fell off, right. So if they were poikin, we learned at the beginning of the parak, the concept of poikin, right. So you have sometimes the pieces like jump off from the heat of the fire or whatever. So if they came from the oiler itself, meaning from the meat or the fat or whatever, then you have to put them back. The iatamachti we call it gidim v'asomis. But that would not apply to pieces of gidim or asomis that got burned and then jumped off in the back.
Right.
Okay, but I guess you can tell. I guess the Kohenim were experienced enough to be able to tell. I mean, Bakal, we're going to talk about it after the next Mishnah. We're going to talk about what exactly are the cases where, when they were Pekea, when they jumped off, when you have to put them back and when not. You have different distinctions in how much they got burnt. But, so here evidently we're talking about when it's still at a point when it's still recognizable what they originally were, as we'll see in the next, as we'll see in the Gemara after the next Mishnah. Anyway, the point is, the Tanakama of this Braisa says nothing to do with the question of leaving them on the Mizbeach or taking them off. It has to do with the question, if they jumped out of the fire, do you have to put them back? Then there's a difference between Boster versus Gidim and Asomid. But not as far as Yerdu and Yalu in the first place. So again, according to Rashi, that would be, in other words, that the Tanakama of this Braisa disagrees with our Mishnah as well, because our Mishnah had said Lo Yalu, and Rashi understands that it means actually Yerdu. So the Tanakama of this Braisa would be disagreeing with that. Tosfos says not necessarily. The Tanakama of this Braisa may mean that they're fine. There is a difference between them as far as the Yerdu and as far as Lo Yerdu, as far as taking them off from the Zayach or not. But when our Mishnah says Lo Yalu, the Tanakama of this Braisa could still be agreeing that fine. Like a Chachila, you don't put them back up even if Pirshu, if they were separating. Okay. Because the Pasuk doesn't say Lo Yalu or Yerdu. The Pasuk says Hikser Akoyin Efakir Lam Mizbecha. But we have another Pasuk called Sitar the Sakah Basav Adam. So we have to deduce from it what the rules are. Rebbe says no. We understand the contradiction between the Pasukim differently. Kosev Achalomer Hikser Akoyin Efakir Lam Mizbecha. One Pasuk says the Koyin should offer everything on the Mizbeach, which is Riba. That's a Ribui, meaning everything. The Kosev Achalomer Val Sitar the Sakah Basav Adam. Therefore, Miyek. So therefore, it excludes something. Hakeitzad mechuborin yalu. If they're attached to the korban, then you bring them up. Pirshu, but if they were separated from the korban, afilohim bereshem mizbeach, even if they're already on top of the mizbeach, yodu, then you take them down. So that is the same as the braisa that we quoted on the top of the omud. So again, according to Rashi, that's also the same as the Mishnah. According to Tosfos, it's different than the Mishnah. But anyway, so that's that. So we have two different opinions on the subject. Whether bones and whatnot that are separated from the korban, everybody agrees apparently that you don't bring them up to the mizbeach to begin with if they're separated from the korban. The machloekas is, once they're on top of the mizbeach, then whether yodu do we take them off or not.
Okay.
One says yes, the Tanakama of the Braisa says yes, Rebbe says no. Then the Mishnah said, Pirshu lo yalu, kula. We said in the Mishnah that if they were separated from the korban, then you don't bring them up onto the mizbeach. Amar Rav Zera, lo shonu ela shepirshu klapei masa. This that we're talking about the distinction when they were separated is only if they were separated downward. Downward meaning away from the Ma'arocha. So you have the Ma'arocha, you have a pile of wood on the Mizbeach where the fire is burning on it. So Rav Zera is saying, if they were Pirshu, if they were separated from the korban, Klapei Masa, going downward, further away from the Ma'arocha, that's when we're saying that you don't put them on the Mizbeach. Have a Klapei Maila, but if they go upward, meaning closer to the Ma'arocha, Kruvi Hudi Krivu Le'ikul. Then, Abdurabi, you say, they're just, then, you don't call that Prisha, that's cold, but they're coming closer to being burnt. So therefore, you should leave them on the Mizbeach.
Sometimes they go up and then they go down.
No, in other words, we're not talking about them jumping into the air. We're talking about them, with Pirshu, like if they rolled away from the curve, while it's on top of the Mizbeach. Which direction did they roll? Did they roll towards the Ma'arocha or away from it? Right? Okay, so the question is, Vafilu Pirshu. So what does that mean? Even if they're completely separated from the korban, then you're gonna put them back. We said in the Mishnah that you only put them on the mizbeach if they're mechuborim, if they're attached. So what do you mean, Pirshu klapei maila and Pirshu klapei masa? Rashi actually has a bit of a hard time, he says, of understanding what the Gemara's question is, and Rashi says it might even be the Gemara is missing some words over here. Because on the face of it, if Rav Zera is talking about Pirshu klapei masa or klapei maila, that would mean they're already on top of the mizbeach. So what are you asking from what the Mishnah is talking about over here about yalu or not, which implies that they're not yet on the mizbeach. Tosfos brings another possible girsa that first of all, Reb Zeira is not actually referring back to our Mishnah, that Reb Zeira is referring to the Braisa about Achivohen Berosh HaMizbeach Yerdu, and therefore that we're dealing with that. So it's not a question of them being below. We are talking about when they're already on the Mizbeach. But we could have thought that it meant, in other words, that we're talking about while they're still before they're on the Mizbeach. But here, in other words, Reb Zeira is talking about when they're already on the Mizbeach. But there's another, on the side of it here, it brings from Birkat HaZevach, the author of Kirush on our Masechta called Birkat HaZevach, where he understands based on Tosfos that you take out the word afilu and we have fine. The Gemara has said fine. We said Reb Zeira's point, but now we're going to have a new statement of Rabbah that disagrees with Reb Zeira. So the Gemara we have here is Omar Rabbah Hakikomar, that Rabbah says this is what Reb Zeira meant. But the girsa on the side of it here is that Rabbah is saying a new statement disagreeing with Reb Zeira. Loishanu elosh pirshu la'achaz rika. This that we're saying, if Pirshu, then you don't put them on the Mizbeach Achila, but if you did, then in Olu Yerdu, but they still have a certain status as far as being part of the Kodshim. Rabba says that's only if they separated from the Korban, La'acha Zrisa, after the Zrisa of the Korban. That's when we're saying that since at the time of the Zrika they were attached to the Korban, therefore they were at that point supposed to go on the Mizbeach because they were attached to the body of the Korban and they should go up. So if afterwards they get separated from it, fine, then they're Kodshim stolen. But fine, we can say that we can argue whether Yerdu or not, but at least they are considered Kodshim to that extent. Avol Pirshu, after the Zrika, but continues Rabbah, if the bones got separated from the carbon before the Zrika even happened, then Asoy Zrika, the Sharitinu, then when the Zrika takes place, then it actually makes them mutter, it makes them completely mutter b'hana, afilu l'med minayo kata de sakin. You can even at that point use these bones to make out of them handles for knives. In other words, the point is that he's saying that because since they were separated before the Zrika, then they don't belong on the Mizbeach at all. They have nothing to do, in other words, with the carbon. They have nothing to do with the Mizbeach at all. But in that sense, in other words, they are like the meat of the carbon. Just like we said in our mission, the meat of the carbon has no connection to the Mizbeach, and in Olu Yerdu, even if you put it on the Mizbeach, you take it down. The same thing, these bones that were separated out before Zrika, once the Zrika takes place, it's matter them. Now, it's mocked to them. You can't eat bones, but you can use them for other purposes. For example, to make handles out of them. Even though it was from a korban, which is a holy thing, but nevertheless, yes. The same way as you're allowed to eat the meat, the same way you're allowed to have anah from the bones. Fine, in the case of korban kalim, it's also Yisraelim, but that's not the point. The point is, whoever it is supposed to eat the korban is supposed to eat the korban. But the same way, we're saying that the same way, as we're going to learn now, based on what Rabbi Shmuel says, that the same way as the korban are allowed to have hanah from the skin of the oila, because the skin of every oila is given to the korban of that nishmer, so it is also with the bone. Yes.
That's
what Rabbi is saying. So the lucky hold the Amr of Yechon and Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. So in other words, Rabbi holds like what Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. He says like this, Nema lo yiyeh ba'ola. When it comes to an ola, the Pasuk says, although the Pasuk says, Oha ola asher hikriv, la koyen lo yiyeh, the skin of the ola which he offered, it should be to the koyen. Now the word lo meaning to him. To him. It doesn't actually mean to the koyen himself. It actually means to all the koyenim of that mishmar, but whatever. We'll deal with that later in the Masechta. But the point is, the word lo yiyeh are extra. If it just said Oha ola asher hikriv la koyen, it would mean exactly the same thing. Skin goes to the koyen. So the word lo yiyeh are extra. The name of lo yiyeh ba'osham, and you have also by the osham, you also have an expression that the osham lo yiyeh. Kachatas kashim terachas lahem akoyin ashe yichatubre lo yiyeh. So we learn from that by Exeter Shabbat. Ma osham asmois of mutarin, just like an osham, the bones of it are mutar b'hanah, as oila somos matorim. The same thing by an oila, the bones are mutabana. Now, how could that be? Aren't they burnt on the mizbeach? That's where Rabba is getting his distinction from between whether they were separated from the korban before or after the zrita. Right. How do we guess that by an oshim the bones are mutar? So Rashi says, the logic, Rashi over here says, the logic is, because the Osham, the meat of it is mutar to eat, after you do the zrika, and after you bring the emurim on the mizbeach, the meat of it is mutar to eat, is mutar to be eaten by the kohenim. Therefore, the bones are not any less than the meat over there, and actually they're better, because the meat eventually becomes noiser after a day and a night, whereas the bones, since they're not shy of eating, then noiser never applies to them, so therefore they can use them for handles of knives or whatever, and they can be used indefinitely. Tosef mentions over here, and there's meat on the meat, I'll take it off, right? Tosef over here mentions, and Rashi himself mentions later in Ormus Echter, that it's not really from that, because in that case we wouldn't need to learn it specifically from a chassas. Yeah, let's say from an oshim, the same thing by a chassas is eaten and so forth. Rather, Rashi says just the very fact that it says lo yir by the oshim means that there's something extra that the kohenim are able to have beyond the obvious that they can eat them in, namely that they have the bones. And then once we have that, then we learn that by the ola as well. So the Gemara says, in that case, if you're making a Gzeir Shava, Mufni, you must necessarily say that the word Lo Yiyah, when it comes to the Ola, is Mufna, is available on the Pasuk, that it's not needed for the simple sense of the Pasuk. The word Mufna literally means empty, you're available. In other words, when it comes to a Gzeir Shava, the Gemara discusses in a number of places in chat, the issue, you can't just use any words for a Gzeir Shava. First of all, the person has to have the Kabbalah from his Rebbe. What Zeta Shavas there are. But besides that also, in one of the rules about how Zeta Shava works is that it has to be, there's more discussion in some places, it has to be Mufne, it has to be that the word is available from at least one end of the Zeta Shava. Otherwise, if it's not, then the Shivin, then we can shrug it up if we find some kind of difference between one and the other. You actually have Machlokas in a number of places in chat, whether if it's Mufne Misad Echad, is that enough to make it unimpeachable, or do you need Mufne Mishnei Tzadin? Do you need that on both sides is available? Our Gemara is not getting into that detail, but at any rate,
we do that Manda Omer what about someone who holds that you need both sides?
Yeah, we've had that in various places in the past. Yeah, I think we had it in Sanhedrin, for example. Yeah. That's how it is. The Gemara discusses this Mufna business in a few places to hear also. So Mufni, we have to say that the word lo yiyah, at least by the Ola, is extra that it's not needed for the simple sense of the process. To Eloi Mufni, because if it's not Mufna, ikla mifrach, then you could slog up the Zeta Shava. And if you do, you don't have a Zeta Shava. Because you could ask, say, Mala Oshem Shekhen Tzorim Mutter. You could say the difference is in Oshem, the meat of it is mutter, therefore it's logical to say that the bones of it are also mutter. How can you derive from that by an Ola it is mutter? And the answer is you're right, it is mutter. Lo yiyah you say it. Because the fact is the words lo yiyah are extra. Because again, the Pasuk could have just said Oha Ola Asher Hiksu Lakoyin, and that would mean exactly the same thing. But by adding the word lo yiyah, we have a Zera Shava that is at least mutter mitzad echad, from the Oshem. Now, yeah, again, in some places, the Gemara continues to ask about that. What about according to the opinion that has to be Mufne Mishnei Tzadin, that has to be available from both sides? Here, the Gemara doesn't get into that. So to summarize, so far we have, again, we had Reb Zeira's distinction whether the bones went closer to the Ma'arachah or further away from it. We had Rabba's distinction that it depends whether the bones were separated before or after the Zrika. If it was after the Zrika, then they should be going on the Mizbeach as part of the Korban, and only if they got separated out, you have the whole discussion whether Yalu or Yerudu or what have you. But if they were separated before the Zrika, then nothing. Then you're allowed to have Hanoah from them anyway after the Zrika. That is right. Mosiv Rav Adar Bar Abba, so now Rav Adar Bar Abba asks them, if they have a contradiction from a Braisa, ask most Kodshin, Lufnei Zrika, Mola Ben, bones of Kodshin, before the Zrika, before the sprinkling of the blood is done, Mola Ben, then Me'ila applies to them, La'acha Zrika in Mola Ben, but after, this is talking about Kodshin that are eaten, like a Chafa for an Asham, before Zrika Moilam Ben, La'acha Zrika in Moilam Ben, after Zrika, then Me'ila no longer applies to them, because at that point they become Mutter for the Kohenim to eat. Vishal Ola, Molan Behana Olam, whereas bones from an Ola, Ni'ilah always applies to them. So what are you telling me, Rabbi, that there's a distinction between whether they separated before or after the Drisa? Yeah. The answer is Eimer. You have to explain what the Braitha means. Vishal Ola, Pirshu, Lifnei Drisa, Ein Molan Behana Achal Drisa, Molan Behana Olam. You have to distinguish as follows. What we mean is like this. From an Ola, there's a distinction. As Rabbah said, if they were separated before Zrika, then as Rabbah said, Ein Molan Behen, then Me'ilah doesn't apply to them. La'achar Zrika, but if they were separated only after Zrika, Molan Behen La'olam, then Me'ilah will always apply to them. Because then, again, they're not something to be burnt on the Mizbeach, so therefore the Zrika doesn't help take away the Issur from them, therefore they remain also. Yukaka are not supposed to be putting on the Mizbeach, and if you do, maybe even Yerudu, as we discussed before, Rebbe versus Chachamim, but at any rate, it's not something that became Mutar Bana, because it only separated after the Zrisa. But the Braita still doesn't contradict Rabbah, because you can say the Braita is saying that there is a case with an Ola where the bones are also forever, but there can also be a case where they're not also at all, namely if they separated before Zrisa. So you can say the Braita is right, so the Braita is talking about only certain cases, and Rabbah is filling in more details. That's a common thing, that you have Mishnayos and Braitas don't always give all the details, and it's left for the Amoraim to fill in. Okay, but this statement of Rabbah's disagrees with Rebbe Lozer. This statement of Rabbah's that we said that there's a difference between before Zrika and after Zrika, he disagrees with Rebbe Lozer. Yeah, the Amar Rebbe Lozer, because Rebbe Lozer says rather, Pusha lifnei Zrika Merlin Bahem, he says like this, if they separated before Zrika, then no, just the opposite of Rabbah. Then Me'ilah always applies to them, because again, once they were Pirshu, they're not going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Therefore, Zrika does not help to be master them, therefore they remain Osir. La'achar Zrika, but if they were separated after the Zrika, Loi Nenin, Loi Merlin, then Midrabbanon, you're not allowed to have Anah from them, but on a Doraisa level, Me'ilah doesn't apply, because after all, you have the Loi Yeh, so that we said before. So therefore, Me'ilah, Lo-Yeh, well, we said before, Lo-Yeh, I mean, they're allowed to have enough from it, so fine. In other words, Rebbe Lozer accepts Rebbe Shmuel Limud from the word Lo-Yeh, bones and water, but he explains it differently than Rabbah. Not like Rabbah said that we're talking about the case where they separated from the animal before Zrika. He says, rather, we're talking about they were separated La'achar Zrika, so on a Daraisa level, you're allowed to have enough from them. But on the Rabbanon level, you're not allowed to. He doesn't say why the Rabbanon made that takana. Maybe because there's a possibility that you might confuse it with the case where they were separated before Zrika. But he doesn't elaborate.
That's the two things with Me'ilah, before and after.
So according to Rabbi Lozer, then, if they separated before Zrika, then Me'ilah will always apply to them. They will never be Mutabana. And if they were separated after Zrika, then Midaraisa, you'd be allowed to have an off. And then Midrabana, no.
Oh, no, but before we got to the end, what was the beginning?
The beginning of what? Rabbah's view?
Yeah.
Rabbah's view was, we said, that if they were separated before Zrika, then they're mutter as soon as Zrika takes place. And if they were separated after Zrika, then they're Taka, because then they're not, they can't be put on the Mizbeach, but yet they're also Banai.
With a normal korban, just to get, you take the part that you're going to eat, and you never have meal on that, because you're...
Right, well, once you do Zrika with most korbanos,
then... Zrika, there's no meal either before...
That you're thinking of Kachim Kalim.
Yeah.
Kachim Kalim, meal only applies to the Emurim. We're talking about Kachim, maybe your Chathos, Asham.
Okay. Kachim.
Kachim, Kachim. Me'ilah applies to them from when they're designated until the Zrika
the
Dam.
Then there's no Me'ilah because then they're Murim, because Nathas Mitzvah.
Okay, they Murim are put on the Mizbeach. Me'ilah would still apply to those. But the meat already is Nathas Mitzvah.
Okay.
Okay. All that.
Wait, what was to not do this thing again?
Okay, so again, so Rabbah would say that if the bones of an Ola, let's say we're talking about, were separated before the Zrika Tadam, he would say they're Mutabana after the Zrika. And if they were separated after the Zrika, then they're also. Rebbe Lozer says they're also in both cases, but the difference is, if it was before Zrika, then they'd be also Daraisa, and if it was after Zrika, they'd be also Drabon. Tosis brings a different view over here in Rebbe Lozer, that Pirushal Lifne Zrika, Molin Ben Ad Zrika, that Me'ilah would apply to them until the Zrika, which would mean that Rav Elazar is still disagreeing with Rabba, but not quite to the extent that Rashi is saying. He would still agree that after Zrika, in that case, there would be Mutar Bahana. He would just be disagreeing about the second case. Tosfos also discusses, by the way, the possibility that when we say loinanin v'loin moylin over here, usually loinanin v'loin moylin means, as Rashi is saying over here, means they're mutter b'hanah d'araisa, and it's only the rabbanim at the rest of it. Tosfos learns over here, it might even be that in this case, loinanin would actually mean on the d'araisa level, they're also b'hanah, when they were separated off after the zrika. But nevertheless, Loy Moylan, nevertheless, the same Torah that would say that also Bahano would also say that Me'ilah doesn't apply to him.
That's our choice,
the possibility. It happens. I mean, we've had other cases before where something is also Bahano for one reason or another, but Me'ilah doesn't apply to him.
It's unusual,
but it happens. Okay. Mishnah says, V'chulon shepoku me'agabe emezeh. Now all these psulim that we're talking about, the ones that lo yirdu, the ones that you leave them on the mizbeach, if they jumped off the mizbeach, lo yachzir, then you don't put them back. Rashi says v'chulon is referring both to the psulim and both to the psulim of previous mishnayos as well as the asomos for gidin and whatever of the last mishnah. Tosfos says that, and also Rashi says, lo yachzir means you don't have to put them back, but you could put them back if you want to. Tosfos discusses that a little bit back and forth and says Tosfos discusses, first of all, is it actually talking about both of them, or is it only talking about the skulin? But also Tosfos discusses there might be a difference between whether it was taken down from whether a person actually took it off the mizbeach versus when it jumped off by itself. That might be also a distinction. Okay. Anyway, the chen gachela shepoku me'agabe mizbeach. Shepoku. That's the point. Tosfos is saying that there could be a distinction between when poku versus when a person took them off. When a person took them off, then you could say that lo yalu, you don't put them back up. But if poku, then we could say that you're allowed to put them back up, you just don't have to.
That's not what Rashi
says. That's Tosfos is mentioning that there's such a distinction as possible to make. V'chein gachelas shepoku me'agabe mizbeach. Similarly, a coal that jumped off the mizbeach, lo yachzir, also you don't have to put it back onto the mizbeach. Evorim shepoku me'agabe mizbeach. What about if you have actual limbs of a korban that jumped off the mizbeach? Then it depends. If they jumped off before Chatzos HaLayla, then you have to put them back. And Me'ilah would still apply to them because they still have a Shaychus to the Mizbeach, so therefore they're still also after Chatzos, you don't have to put them back, and Me'ilah doesn't apply to them because at that point, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's considered as if they were already completely burnt. We have a general rule, Rashi mentions over here from other Gemaras, that you never have a case where the mitzvah has been finished with something and Me'ilah would still apply to it. Once it's completely burnt, then the mitzvah has been done with it, therefore Me'ilah is not there, therefore it can't be subject to Me'ilah anymore. Here, we're saying Chatzos is that dividing line where after that it's considered that it's already completely burnt, as we will see in the Gemara.
So we exclude possibilities that even after that first done, we're not completely burnt.
That's what we're going to figure out in the Gemara. Wait. Continues the Mishnah. Kashem Sham is there, Mekadesh Atadoriloi. Just as the Mizbeach is Mekadesh things that are suitable for it, as we've been discussing throughout this Peret, Kachat Kevesh Mekadesh. The same way, not just the Mizbeach, but also the Kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach also. So if you have one of these psulim, or these things that we were discussing in these last couple of Mishnayos, which was placed on the Kevesh, then also that landed on the Kevesh, then you would also take it from there and put it on the Mizbeach, which we'll actually see in the Gemara how you put it on the Mizbeach without first taking it off the Kevesh. We're going to have to deal with that, because if you take it off the Kevesh, you pick it up and walk with it towards the Mizbeach on the face of it, you're taking it off, and it's already Yerju, you're taking them off. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll deal with that tomorrow, that's the shame. Kashem Sham is Beach Kevesh Makadish and Atheroilahan, and continues the Mishnah, just as the Mizbeach and Makadish are Makadish things that are suitable to them, Kacha Kalim Makadish, so also the various Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash from the Kaddish to things that are suitable for them. The Kiddush that we're talking about actually is in a slightly different sense. Not in the sense of in Olo Lo Yodu or things like that, but rather in the sense that, for example, a Kli Sharet that's used for a Mincha, once the Mincha is placed in the Kli Sharet, that's when it has Kiddush HaGuf. That's when, if it becomes Tomei or whatnot, you can't be Kodesh, as opposed to before that. In other words, if once it's placed, as soon as the procedure with a Korban Mincha is the person brings his flour and oil, and it's mixed and it's placed into a Kli Sharet. Putting it in the Kli Sharet gives it a Kiddush HaGuf. And they'll say, at that point, now you can't be Kodesh if it became Tomei, and you have various other rules that apply to it. So that's what we mean by Kacha Keli Mekadshin, in the sense that only once the thing is placed into the proper Keli, only then does it gain its Kiddush HaGuf. So Gemara starts off. Heichi Domi, what's the scenario over here where our Mishnah is making a distinction between before and after Chatzos, as far as putting back a void? If the Aver still has substance in it, still an actual piece of meat that hasn't been completely burnt, after the last Chatzos Nami, then why should you not put it back after Chatzos that hasn't been completely burnt? Still shy up for the Mizbeach. Eid Lesbehu Mamish, and if it has no Mamoshus, meaning it's completely burnt, then you shouldn't even have to put it back before Chatzos either. And when we say, by the way, we don't even necessarily mean that it literally became ashes, because then, of course, there's nothing really to put back. We're talking about, in other words, if it's a lump of charcoal at this point, then you can't. The answer is, lo shita, yes, but the case where the Mishnah has to tell us where there's a distinction between before and after, if you have a piece where it's still recognizable as an aver, but it became hard. Sharir is the Aramaic word for hard, or firm. So it became hardened by the fire. It got completely dried out. No, it's not quite a coal yet. The fire seared it all, and then it's well burnt, but it didn't quite become charcoal yet. As Rashi describes, it's like at this point, it's like dry wood.
Right.
Yeah, think of it. I mean, all of us have had... Okay, but that's the point, in other words, but it's not quite charcoal. Yeah, I know all of us can relate. I mean, you know, all of us, I'm sure, have had it one time or another. We're cooking for Shabbos or making a barbecue or whatever, and you leave something, and you leave something in the oven. You leave something in the oven too long, and you come back and find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the distinction, then, that if it's before Chatzos versus after Chatzos, that's when we're saying that Chatzos makes it considered that it was completely booked. And therefore, you wouldn't put it back. When it's really, before Chatzos, and then it jumps off the Mizbeach, yeah. In modern Hebrew, shurim means muscles, yeah, it comes by the same thing, because shurim means firm, like muscles. And, yeah.
Some people's muscles are firm.
Yeah. Minah Hanimim, Mark says, where do we know this distinction from about before and after Chatzos? Omer Rav, the Rav says it's like this. What you have now, it's not really two different psukim. You have the psukim at the beginning of Parashat Tzav, which we say every day in Yom. Shabbos Ayin Rez Bon of Lomer, Zos Torah Ha'ola, Ki Ha'ola Amuzeh Kol Alayla Ada Breker, the Eishem Zeach Tukad Boi, and then the Kohen goes and does Turmas Adeshim. So the Gemara is sort of paraphrasing the psukim over here. You have, on the one hand, it starts up by saying, Al-Mokhtar Al-Mizeach Kol Alayla Adabreker, that the things should be, the pieces of the korban should be on the fire of the Mizeach all night until the morning. So that's Kol Alayla V'Hikdir, implying that the burning can take place any time during the night. Because of Akhadam, Kol Alayla V'Hikdir. On the other hand, then the Tosfos mentions, after mentioning Kol Alayla Adabreker, then it starts talking about Terumah Sadeshin. So in other words, the Kol Alayla Adabreker is actually referring back to the previous thing about bringing the korbanos, as well as forward to the thing about Terumah Sadeshin, implying that Terumah Sadeshin can take place during the night. And if Terumah Sadeshin is taking place during the night, on the face of it, that means that the korbanos are considered already burnt at that point. So what does it mean? How case?
It has to be completely burnt.
Yeah, well, in other words, that they're considered completely burnt. In other words, that even if you have shriri that we were discussing a second ago, that they would be considered already burnt. How do you reconcile these things? How case? It means you divide the night in two. Cheskir l'haktara v'cheskir l'haroma. One half of the night is for burning the korbanos, meaning unless you have a piece of a korban is literally reduced to ashes, then it's not considered completely burnt, and you still have an obligation to put it back onto the mizbeach if it fell off.
If it's not reduced
to ashes, And the other one, the chetzil aroma, means even when you have these shiri, you have these hard as wood pieces, which are not completely burnt to ashes, but they're already hard, then those are already available for haroma. So at that point, they can already be considered deshen. They can already be considered ashes. Right? If it's after, that's the point, in other words. Now, that's how Rashi learns, that it means, in other words, that these shiri, these hard, dried-out pieces, you could even do trumas adeshen. Tosfos discusses at some length over here, not necessarily, because the fact of the matter is that we see in the Mishnayos, in Tumid and other places, it sounds like for trumas adeshen, you're supposed to take actual coals, not pieces of wood that have gotten hard, not pieces of meat, I mean, that have gotten hard like wood. Trumas Hadeshen means every morning the Kohen had a mitzvah to take a shovelful of coal off the mizbeach and deposit them on the floor next to the mizbeach.
The coals from the wood, not from the...
The coals can also be from the meat, from everything that's burned into coals and ashes over there. So that's Trumas Hadeshen. So Rashi is learning over here that you could actually, when the Kohen is scooping up the scoopful of Deshen, that could include these shirim. Tosfos says not necessarily. What the Gemara may mean over here is that at this point they're considered burned enough already that you can put them in the pile of ashes called the tapuach in the middle of the mizbeach. But not necessarily that you could take the trumas hadeshen, you would have to take ones that have actually become cold. So that's what we're saying. That's what Rav is saying. That's the distinction how we get before and after chatzos based on the truth system. However, Master Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asks Rav a stira for that. We learn in the Mishnah in Yuma, "B'chol yom toidem et hamazeach mikros hagever o samuch loy." Every day, meaning regular days throughout the year, when would they do the trumas hadeshen? When would they take the shovel full of ashes off the mizbeach? They would do it at kros hagever, which is where the Gemara mentions in Yuma two opinions. Either gever means a rooster, meaning he's a rooster, so when the roosters crow, or Gever is the person whose job was, Vini Koro, his name was, whose job was to stand up and then yell in a loud voice, Ildu Koinim Labadastan, and so forth. So, this way the Koinim would wake up, and this way, whichever ones are in the Bismikdash on guard duty or whatever would come, and whichever ones are elsewhere in the city would also, and like Mar mentioned elsewhere, they used to hear his voice as far as Yericho, but, yeah. So, I don't know if it says that he was a Kohen. Maybe he has to be. Maybe I don't know if it necessarily has to be.
He had a microphone.
He had a built-in microphone. Apparently, was the idea. Yeah. Right. Anyway,
he says he had a microphone.
Okay. B'chol yom toidem et hamazeach mikros hagever o samuchloi milafanav oima achrav. Usually, on a regular day, they would do trumas hadeshen at kros hagever or around that time, a little bit before or a little bit after. But b'yom kippurim b'chatzos. On Yom Kippur, instead, they would move it up and do it at Chatzos HaLayla. Bergolim v'ashmuras HaRishona. And on Yom Tovim, they would do it after the first Ashmura. The Gemara, at the very beginning of Brachos, talks about different opinions, whether there are three or four Ashmuras that the night is divided into. The night is divided into either three Ashmuras, in which case each one is 4 hours long, and so the end of the first Ashmura is, let's say, about 10 o'clock at night on an ideal 6th to 5th day, then it would be about 10 o'clock. The other opinion is that there are 4 Ashmuras, so then each one is 3 hours, so 9 o'clock at night, whatever. The point is, on Regalim, they would do it even earlier. The reasons why we're going to see further on, but the point of the question is, if you're telling me, Rav, that the distinction between before and after Chatzos is a Daraisa level distinction, then how can we make it any earlier, and how can we make it any later? So, okay, Rashi over here says, don't be gorgeous, behesim acharinon. Okay, the Torah says the earliest you can do it is Chatzos. Doesn't mean you couldn't do it later. The question would be how you can do it earlier on Yom Tov. No. But Tosfos in Yuma, as it mentions over here on the side, but Tosfos in Yuma says you can be gorgeous. Because the question is, zrizim machdim in the mitzvah. You're supposed to do mitzvah as soon as possible. If the Torah tells you to do it by Chatzos, why on regular weekdays are you waiting until all those are Shabbat?
Right.
Ela, Amar Rav Yechanan, so no. Rav Yechanan says like this. Now, Rashi is also not Doris the word Ella, which is why it's also in the parenthesis over here. Rashi understands that Rabbi Yechanan's answer that he's going to give now is not actually disagreeing with Rav. Rav, we still accept Rav's distinction about Shrivi, about these pieces of the Korbanos that got burnt and got hard and became like wood, that there's a difference between before and after Chatzos. But what we're going to say is the distinction as far as Trumas Hadeshen is not necessarily like what Rav is saying, that it has to specifically be at Chatzos. There is a distinction somewhere in the night, but it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly at Chatzos like Rav was saying. So in that sense, Rashi is not Gerdus the word Ella. Tosfos is Gerdus it and understands that Rav Yochanan is actually disagreeing with Rav. That Rav is implying when he says Chetzila Harama that even if it's completely burnt to ashes, you can't do Truma Sadeshin with it at that point. And Rav Yochanan is disagreeing with that. Okay, so Rav Yochanan is saying like this. Mimashma Shenema Kol Alayla. Let's analyze the pesukim differently, says Rav Yochanan. Given that the pasuk is saying that you can that the korbanos are meant to be burning all night, any adesh ad boker, obviously all night means until the morning. Ma tam adam ad boker, we say Kol Alayla. Here Olam moved down the Zeh Kol Alayla ad boker. We all know that Kol Alayla means ad boker. Why mention it? It means matam alayma ad boker means ten boker the boker shalayla. It means assign a morning for the morning of the night. In other words, Rashi says, what is the real morning as alayt shachar? Make an earlier morning for it, meaning it was make an earlier time than alayt shachar. That is available for Tzurim HaSadeshin. And the Torah doesn't specify what it is. So therefore, in other words, the Torah left it up to the Chachamim to determine what would be the appropriate time to do it.
How many Ashmuras are there during the night?
During the night, there are three or four Ashmuras. But we're not saying that we go according to Ashmuras. Ten Boker, the Boker, Shalila, means in other words, you have the Boker, you have a Loisa Shachar, and then you have some previous Boker before that. The Torah is telling us that at some point before a Loisa Shachar, you're allowed to already do Truma Kadeshah. So again, Tosfos learns Rav Yochanan a little bit differently, that what he's saying is the pen boker, the boker shalayla, is where we get the chatzos, where we get the distinction as far as pieces of the korban being considered burnt before and after chatzos, but he's saying that we're not at all learning from this process about any particular time that Truma Kadeshin can be done. Unlike Rav is saying it has to be a chatzos, Rav Yochanan is saying the process is just implying it can be sometime before chatzos, but without specifying when. Therefore, in other words, the Torah left it up to the Chachamim to determine what time it should be. Hilchah, so the Chachamim figured out, therefore, it can be as follows. Kol yom b'kriyas hagedol. On a regular day, it's good enough to do it at Alayt HaShachar. On a regular day, you don't have that many korbanos being brought. Therefore, they can do the Trumas Hadeshen. After the Trumas Hadeshen, next thing that describes in Mishnayos and Talmud is they would clear all the ashes from all over the Mizbeach and put them into the Tapuach, put them into the pile in the center of the Mizbeach, and set up the new Ma'arachah, the new pile of wood for the day's korbanos. And fine, they could sort all that at Alayt HaShachar, and they wouldn't run out of time. Everyone has got full, and then when it got full, they would empty it. And actually, the Rambam, I think, learns that they would empty it out every day, except for doing Yom Tov. Anyway, so that's on a regular day they would do that. Bigger, if you put in onion paper, Mishum Kosha, the Kohen Gadol, because of the Kohen Gadol's weakness, and he's fasting, and he has to do the whole Avodah, make Chatzos, and he moves it up to Chatzos. Now, how does that help? So Rashi learns that what it means is, I mean, Kippur, again, the Kohen Gadol had to do all the Avodah, including, according to that, he had to do the Trumas Hadeshen as well.
Yeah.
So therefore, we want to move it up. That way he has time to rest before it comes time to start the main day's Avodah for checking the Talmud and so forth.
So was it that much
thing? Okay, but there's still one scoopful, and it's still walking down. Yeah, it's going up, going down, and yeah. He was up the whole night. But still, the point is, you want to give him a little time to sit down and relax a little bit before he has to be on his feet all day. Anyway, Tosfos discusses over here and also in Yoma that not necessarily, because is it true that the Kohen Gadol had to do Trumas Hadeshen? Not necessarily. Maybe the Kohen Gadol's avodah that he had to do that day begins only with the Korban Talmid. In that case, then what do you mean? So Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities here and also in Yoma. One is that the Girsa over here shouldn't be the Kohen Gadol, but rather the regular Kohen. The regular Kohen are also fasting. So you want to move it up for them so they also have, so they can also get it over and done with and then have time to relax. then Tosfos brings another possibility that we mean even that we do mean the Kohen Gadol, but what we mean is that, like this, you want the Kohen Gadol to be able to start shechting the Korban Chomet as soon as Aloy Tashachar comes, because that way you can do as much as possible in Avodah before the fast hits him. So like this, therefore, so if you only started Trumas HaDeshen at Aloy Tashachar, at Trace HaGever, like you do on a regular day, it would take time for them to do that, and then to clear up the ashes onto the Tapuach and set the Ma'arafa and everything, and by the time the Kohen Gadol can come to shech the Korban Chomet would be some time later. And that way there's more of the avodah he's having to do when he's feeling the effect of the fast. So like this, you move up Trumas HaDeshen. Fine, let's say the Kohen Gadol himself is not doing Trumas HaDeshen. Let's say the other Kohenim are, but this way it's over and done with and everything is set up by Aloy Tashachar. And therefore then he can check the Korban Chomet and get everything started. Okay. So those are the different explanations and places. Okay, so that's on Yom Kippur. Bit of Golem. The Mishum Khosh of the Kohen Gadol mechatzayis, you move it up to chatzayis. But a golem, on the Sholosh Regolem, the reason why you make it even earlier, the Nefishi Korbanis, you have many, many Korbanis, because everybody brings an Olas Re'iyah and a Shlame Chagiga and all the other Korbanis that they had to bring during the year. So you move it up. So the Kadmi also Yisrael, Jewish people are coming, the Nefishi Korbanis, you have many Korbanis, the Kadmi also Yisrael, Mashmar, the Kadmi also Yisrael, you have Jewish people coming to the Azara very, very early, therefore Mashmar to Sereshoina. Therefore, you do the Trumas HaDeshen at the Ashmara Sereshoina, Kidkatani Sefer, as the Mishnah continues. Lohoza Kriyat HaGever Magav, that before even the rooster or Gvini would make the announcement, then the Azara would already be full with the Jewish people. So again, one explanation of it is therefore they have to do the Trumas HaDeshen very early in order to have it ready so that this way they can start bringing Korbanos right at Aloy Tashachar, and this way they have as much possible time in the day for everybody's Korbanos. Another explanation that Rishonim bring in Yuma is the point is because the Azara was so crowded, if they didn't do the Trumas HaDeshen early, they wouldn't be able to get through the crowds with the Deshen. So therefore, they had to do it very early. So this way, before the crowds mount up. What? No. Okay. So the Trumas HaDeshen, the daily Trumas HaDeshen itself went next to the Mizeach. Fine, but there's plenty of Kohenim also coming to bring Korbanos. You had, especially during the Regolim, all the Kohenim are on duty. There's no Mishmaris during the Shalosh Regolim. But and then you don't have, well, you have actually, it, at the end of Sukkah, at the end of Masechta Sukkah, it's described over there, the regular korbanos that are brought every day, like the Korban Chomet and whatever, those are done by the regular Mishmar of that week. But all the korbanos of Yom Tov are done interchangeably by all the Mishmaris. So most of the time they make a pious, a girdle, when it comes to the specific korbanos of Sukkot, it describes over there how they had a rotation, because you have enough korbanos for all of the mishmaris to go several times through, yeah. Okay. Alright. It's nice. So now we have so that's the bottom line, therefore, is that, so again, according to Rav, what it is Trumas HaDeshen is supposed to be at Chatzos, but then we ask on that in the Mishnah where we see that sometimes it takes place even before Chatzos. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's not actually the Torah is not telling us that it must be at Chatzos. It has to be sometime during the night, and it's left up to the Chachamim to determine what's the appropriate time depending on circumstances. Ismar. So now we have a discussion of Amoraim as follows. Pirshu Kodim Chatzos Beth Ziron Ach Chatzos. This case, where we said over here we have these shuri, these well-burned but not completely charcoal pieces of the korbanos, if they separated, meaning if they fell off the mizbeach before chatzos, v'chziron after chatzos, and then you put them back after chatzos. Rabba Omar, chatzos sheni oichlosam. So Rabba says that what happens is, when are they considered completely burnt? Only by the next chatzos. So if they were put on the Mizbeach, in other words, on Sunday night, came before Chatzos of Sunday night, they fell off the Mizbeach. You put them back after Chatzos on Monday. Rabbi is saying only by Chatzos of Monday going into Tuesday is it going to be considered completely burned, even if at that point it hasn't become charcoal. Meaning the next Chatzos, right? Right. Well, it's going to be, at this point, it's going to be more than 24 hours on the Mizbeach, but that's the point. So next Chatzos, at next Chatzos, even if it's shiri, even if it's not completely burnt to charcoal, you could have it happens to be by the edge of the fire, I don't know, whatever. only at that point does it become equal, is it considered that it's completely burned, where then after that, if it fell off, then lo yachter, then you know, then you don't put it back. Rav Chisdom omer ashachar es losam. Rav Chisda says it doesn't take that long. All you have to wait, so Allah is the shachar of that day. So in this scenario, Monday morning, Allah is the shachar, it would already be considered that it was equal, that it was completely burned. Amri Beirav, so they said in the yeshiva of Rav, my time is the Rav Chisda, what is Rav Chisda's reason? And Tosfos points out that actually Amri Beirav usually means Rav Huna is saying Rav Chisda is actually Rav Huna's Rebbe. So one possibility is that Rav Chisda is saying it in Rav Huna's name, or also Rav Huna respected Rav Chisda a lot, even though he was a Talmud, he still was so therefore he might be taking the trouble to explain what he's saying. So he says like this. Why should Rav Chisda say, more than 12 hours, why should Rav Chisda say that Alois HaShachar already makes it equal when normally we said you need Chatzot, like Rav was saying before. He says like this, make a Kavachomer. Where when Chatzos HaLaila comes, if a piece of a korban is not on the Mizbeach, it doesn't yet become possible. Lina, which means when it's left overnight and it becomes possible, only takes place at Alois HaShachar. But we said before that Chatzos makes it considered that the piece of meat is already considered completely burnt, and therefore we said once it's shiri, then you don't put it back on the Mizbeach, it fell off. Lina will have to wait till Alois HaShachar. But equal already is considered as chatzos. Omer the shachar, it's a lina. Well then, alois the shachar, where even lina is effective then, where if it was off the mizbeach at alois the shachar, it becomes fossil, ein edin shoyis the equal. How much more so that it should make that equal takes place over there? You shouldn't need to wait till the next chatzos, like Rava is saying. Since it becomes lina at that point, if it was off the mizbeach, therefore it also becomes equal if it's on the mizbeach. Now, Tosfos points out, what would Rabba answer to that? Tosfos would answer that, as the Gemara is going to say in a little bit, that Rabba holds, Ein lina my elis perdoshu shal mizbeach. When you have a piece of a korban that's on top of the mizbeach, lina doesn't apply to it. The whole concept that a korban becomes possible on a lois hashachar does not apply, Rabba says, if the piece is on top of the mizbeach. So therefore, Rav Chisda's Kavachomer doesn't work according to Rabba.
Rav
Chisda doesn't agree with that concept, but yes. Incidentally, this that we're saying, by the way, this that Rabba is saying, "Ein lino ma'elus b'doshu shal mizbeach," which the Gemara is going to deal with, that in a little more detail later on. I saw an interesting thing. I mentioned this also briefly on the WhatsApp. We know the mum fell every day for 40 years in the Midbar, except Shabbos, the double portion on Friday. And Hashem tells Moshe, Ish al Yosef menu aboto, nobody is allowed to leave any mon over for the next day, and we know what happened when Dothan and Avudam left over some. Yet, at the end of the parasha there, what does Hashem tell Moshe? Kach and senesachas, take a jar, and put some mon in there, and keep it for all generations. But this way, even hundreds of years later, the Rashi brings on the pasuk over there, that in Yirmiyahu's time, the Jewish people were asking, what are you telling us? Go and learn Torah, we have to make parnasa. So he takes out the jar of mon that's been sitting there in front of the Oren for 900 years and shows them, look, Hashem was able to provide them parnasa in the Midbar, and Hashem can also provide you parnasa, yeah.
So,
yeah? No, but, well, you have different mephoshim, actually. You have different mephoshim. We talk about, was it a clay jar, and in that case you have to open it, or was it a glass jar, and in that case you could see through it. Okay, whatever, that's not the point. The point is, if you're not supposed to leave over mon from one day to the next, okay, you can answer Hashem said this and Hashem said that, fine, but what's the logic behind it? So the Rogatchover says an interesting idea. He says, based on what we're saying over here, we say, Ein linum me'elus kedusha shal mizbeach. It means, in other words, the top of the mizbeach, a place of kedusha, is higher than time. Well, by the same way, in front of the Oren is also higher than time. Therefore, you can't say you're leaving it over for the next day, because there is no this day or next day. In front of the Oren, and in the Oilam of Del Yoin, there is no such thing as this time or that time. It says beyond time.
Is that how the Kohenim stay so young? No one top of the day.
I don't know. Okay. Another case. Pirshu Kodim, going back to the Mark. Pirshu Kodim Chatzos Ve'Avzirim La'acha Omer HaShachar. How about another case? If the pieces fell off the Mizbeach before Chatzos, and you put them back after Alois HaShachar, Rabba Omer Chatzos Sheni Ochloson. So now Rabba says, like in the previous case, that the next Chatzos will make that now it's considered equal, that now it's considered completely burnt. Rav Chisda Omer Ein Behen Ikul La'olam. Rav Chisda says, in that case, ikul never applies to them. The only, as long as whenever they fall off the mizbeach, you're going to have to keep putting them back, and the ilah is still going to apply to them until they actually become charcoal or ashes. Maski for Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asks on this. Uman leimalon dechassos b'roshem mizbeach mishabi lahu ikul. Who says that the difference is whether at the time of chassos it's on the mizbeach or not? Why should it only be that equal that's considered they're completely burned if they're on the mizbeach at chassos? Dilma kol heichad mashkach lahu mishabi lahu ikul. Maybe once they became shuri, comes chassos, they're considered completely burned, even if at that point they're not on top of the mizbeach. In other words, therefore, so the whole question of chassos sheni or ein behen ikul la'olam says Rabbi Yosef wouldn't be relevant. The answer would be that once chassos comes, whether they're on the mizbeach or off the mizbeach, ikul takes place. At that point, the ilah no longer applies to them, and they're considered burnt.
So
neither like Rabba nor like Rafisa. And in fact, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Hilchot to Rabbi Yosef. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, not really the halacha. Tosfos says, for one thing, it would be hilchot of a mashiach. What we mean is, in other words, that Rabbi Yosef had a very good point. Rabbi Yosef has a very good point. So we should accept his point that equal takes place whether it's on top of the mizbeach as chassos or not. So his point was that as long as chassos comes, once this piece is shuri for chassos and it fell off the mizbeach, then yeah. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow.